Blog Talk Radio.
2 Corinthians 13.
This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Amen, amen. This is Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, January the 31st, 2019. We made it through the first month of the year. We pray all is well. All those who started this year with fasting and prayer and intercession and seeking God for this coming calendar year, I thank you. We thank God for the prayers that you put up. We know God is hearing you. We welcome you back. And we pray that the prayers will be heard by God, and he start to manifest himself in the body of Christ, in his church, that we may be able to be a church that is salt and light in the world, salt and light in our communities, and to this culture, and that the gospel will be spread abroad, for every soul will hear the gospel and come into faith of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to be talking, we're going to continue our conversation. We've been talking about some of the characteristics, some of the things in a man's life. We've talked in previous program, our last program, we talked about having a sound mind, about self-control. And tonight we're going to talk about a measure of strength and a sacrificial love. Again, these are some of the characteristics that we, as men, we just want to be able to check ourselves, see where we are, see how we are in the application and fulfillment of the Word of God in our lives, and by the submission of the Holy Spirit. And are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in what it means and what God has called us to be as men, as husbands and fathers and sons? Are we growing into the purpose that God created us for? And do we know our purpose? And do we recognize our purpose through his word, through the teaching of his word, and of having a changed mind and a renewed character? So we're going to touch on those couple of things today and some other things tonight. First, let me just welcome my brother, Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom, New Vision for Life, and Gwen Oaks, Maryland. Brother, good evening. How are you, sir?
I am blessed, sir. Good evening to you. Good evening to you. As always, thank you for having me on with you. It's always a wonderful opportunity.
Amen, amen, amen. You're becoming a regular, brother. You got time in for the new year. You're gonna become a regular soon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to start tonight again. We're going to be talking about some of the character traits, some of the things that we, as men, as husbands and fathers, we just want to check ourselves. Again, here at the Christian Men's Talk, we don't come on, and the guests that I bring on and co-hosts, we don't pretend to have it all together, but we also don't put ourselves on a pedestal, because we know that God is going to judge each of us by what we know, what we understand, and how we live, and how we fulfill the word and the purpose he created us for. But again, we're going to stand before him. I had a quote that I posted on the program for the program tonight, also on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And also I sent it out on Twitter, on our Twitter account at Issues Men's Talk. We invite you to join us there and follow us there, and you can reach out there and inbox us and message us. It was a quote from A.W. Tozer. And when I read it and saw it, it stirred something up in me, as these character traits we're talking about, that each of us, it says, the meek man knows well that the world will never see him as God sees him, and he has stopped caring what the world thinks about him. And you know that sometimes we have to think about that. We know that the world, the culture, the unbeliever is never going to see us the way God sees us. And I think we need, in the larger spectrum of that, the church. I think the church has to get an idea to understand that God, we are God. See, we are his creation. We are his chosen people. We are to be salt and light. And the world is never going to see us in that way. And then sometimes we have to learn, I think we're off a little bit off center on that, because we do a lot of things to try and appease the world, show ourselves friendly to the world. But then in that, how much are we really compromising? And that's for each of us to look at. Because, again, we are meek, but we understand that, you know, who we are in Christ Jesus. And we have to understand everyone's not going to see us no matter what we do, no matter how loving and kind and how much we give and how much we serve. And some people are not going to see us. They're not going to see us as God sees us. And we're not on this earth to please God or to do. I mean, we are. I'm sorry. We are here to please God. We are put in this place, in these lives, in our communities, in the city you live in, the state you live in, the church you live in, by God. And he has ordained our lives for a purpose and a plan. And we were not put here to please the world and the culture. Because remember, I always say this to the brothers who listen and those who know me. If we read Scripture, if we read the Gospels, if we read the book of Acts, the Christians were not loved at all whatsoever at any time and did not compromise what they knew of Christ to be liked by the world, because they were martyred, they were beaten. Apostle Paul was beaten several times. He speaks about that in his testimony. Peter was beaten, was thrown in jail, got out of jail, and ended and remembered. And then the biggest thing, of the 12 disciples, the only one who died as an old man of natural causes was John. So we have to understand and see, we have to understand that the world is not never going to see us as God sees us, and we're not here to be able to please them. And some of the things that we do to compromise, to bring people in, even into the church, or get people to hear the gospel, are we really compromising for people who are not going to receive Christ anyway? So I just want to put that out there. I'll call that my opening monologue. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight
Amen.
We're going to... Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about some other things, because we want to bring some encouragement to the brothers out there and for those who are listening. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, share your insights, your wisdom, or make a comment or ask a question. For those of you who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr, thank you for joining me tonight. And also, if you've tuned in later and you listened to the rebroadcast, you came and listened to the show after it was live, thank you for joining us, and I encourage you to share it, share with your friends, and I also encourage you to call in. We're here live every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., so we encourage you to come and be part of the conversation and share your insights. So just listen live and just spend some time with us. And as always, in this new year, again, we talked about, people started the year out in prayer and fasting. And I want to thank those who have prayed for me. Thank all you who will continue to pray for me, that I get, prayer requests, and that we're connected through text and Twitter on a daily basis. I just want to say thank you. Amen. So tonight we're going to start with desiring God for a measure of strength, of spiritual power. And also, this is something we have to understand, too, when we're talking about the strength. And sometimes it's the strength to stand. the strength to stand with our convictions, to be faithful to the gospel in the midst of either persecution or even being mocked by it, people not believing what we're saying, calling us all kinds of names, or even the strength to stand in rejection. Because even in the first century church, Christians were kicked out of their families. Their families turned their back on them before just coming to faith in Christ. And I know today, in these days and times, people are still being persecuted by family members, having their back turned. But we need the strength and the wisdom of God to be able to withstand, even in the midst of that, when those that who loved us once may turn our backs on us. And then how we have the strength to endure. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 to start us out, to get us rolling on the conversation. And it says in the Word of God, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And that power and of love. You know, the spirit that we have in us is of power. It's a spiritual strength that we have to stand. We fear not what God, what people can do to us. We understand that this walk is a spiritual walk, and that we can endure some things. And sometimes we have the power within us, through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, against how people treat us, how people talk about us, the trials, the tribulations that we go through. And let me say this. I'm going to come to you, Elder, but I want to say this. It is the things that we endure for Christ, too. I think sometimes we have to understand that we are living in a sinful world. We're not living in a just world. But it's about the things that we stand for Christ that we can endure. Some other things we can also pray about, because that's just the way it is. That's life. That's culture. That's the sinful world we live in and the circumstances we may find ourselves. However, there's also a difference between being enduring the things of life and then in what we endure for Christ's sake. Because everything that we go through may not be on a spiritual level. It can sometimes just be out of consequences. Sometimes we have to have the wisdom and discernment to be able to distinguish the two. But when we stand for Christ, He's given us a special enduring power, knowing that, you know, the things that sometimes we reject it for Christ, that God sees that and gives us the power to strengthen us from within. What do you say, sir?
You know what, Deacon Farr, excuse me, we talk about strength, and I think sometimes we don't really examine what it means to be strong in our faith and what it means to be strengthened as a man of God, what it means to just be strengthened as a Christian, as a believer. You know, our situations come at us, and we have so many issues. We have problems with our health. We have problems with our finances. We have problems with our marriage. We have problems with our jobs. We have problems in every aspect of our life. Whether non-believer or believer, we all have problems. But the strength that you talked about in 2 Timothy that it talks about, that you have no fear, is that when those things come about, the peace of God is upon you. So those things, you don't fear those situations. Understand, you'll deal with them. But to be able to deal with them without worry, because you know you already have the strength within you to overcome those situations, that's a change. And, man, I tell you, when I got to the place that my faith was that strong that it didn't matter whether my bank book said I had thousands of dollars in the bank or whether it said I had -2, whatever the case may be, I still felt just as comfortable because I knew God would sustain me. Sometimes early on, yes, that was hard. Like, oh, my goodness, I'm doing all this stuff right. I'm trying to live right, and I'm still dealing with health issues. I'm still dealing with the problems with the, you know, finances. I'm still struggling with issues at my job. I'm still being persecuted when I'm trying to be a good person. People still lie on me and talk bad about me and say this or do this. And when I used to be able to, you know, throw my hands up and ready to fight, now I have to give them the love of God and say, you know what, God bless you, when they cuss me out. Yeah, right, really? Now, strength that I have within me because I know who God is and what God will continue, has done, will continue to do, and will always do in the midst of everything, what he'll do for me, that strength, that truly is the peace that passes all understanding. like, it's hard to understand that you can stand and say, you know what, it's gonna be all right. I know money's not there. The tire just went. I just blew a tire on the car. I gotta pick my wife up. She's gonna be mad. We gotta get the kids, and we still gotta worry about how we're gonna feed each other. We're still worried about what we're gonna eat tonight. When you reach a place in faith, and you know who God is for you, you learn and seen through the miracles that you know nothing else could. It could only have happened by the power of God. When you reach that place of faith, when you reach that understanding, the strength within you, no matter what the situation, where you will see yourself as an overcomer, and every situation is only a test so that you'll have a testimony, that you'll also not only look back and see the power of God, but be able to tell somebody else how good God is, how good God has been in each and every situation in your life. It even allows you to go back in retrospect and look, you know, I don't know how I could have made it past this situation. I don't know how this worked out. There's something in our lives, even if you think right now, if you close your eyes and think of one of the worst situations you've ever been in, and then think, how did I get by? How did I make it through? Truly the grace of God. That was the only way. And sometimes that way may have been you had to push and pull, but in some way, something happened that changed that allowed you to get through. And because of that, you're strengthened and stronger nowadays, and you could deal with that situation again, and it would be even easier. That's the strength of God within you. When a situation comes again, you already see yourself as an overcomer, so it doesn't even worry you. You just push on through. Praise God for taking you through, even while you're going through, and continue to move forward. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And brothers, let me say this to you. We have to endure some things. But God has made a way through the promises, through our faith, through the exercise of our faith. I mean, that's the other thing we have to understand. Faith is like muscle. It has to be, you have to exercise it. You have to, you know, sometimes you've got to believe what God said. Because if you can believe him for the salvation of your soul, why can't you believe him for these temporal things that only are temporary? That this life we live, no matter if we live to be 100, what's the oldest man that ever, that I just was reading an article, oldest person, living person is 110, 115. But nothing, none of that compares to eternity with God, where our soul is, and we're in right standing with God, and our soul will spend eternity with him. Our resurrected bodies will spend eternity in heaven. So that's why we have to understand, if we believe the promises, what is our faith based on? Our faith is not based on, you know, this temporal realm and having everything now. And we have to be, and as Christian men, we have to get to that place so that we can teach our families, our wives, our children, those around us in our circle, that we all understand what faith and strength really means. And it's not always praying for something for God to deliver us, for God to provide as we see fit. Because the other thing that we have to go as we grow in our faith and mature is understanding that God sees everything. God knows everything. And nothing in our lives is a surprise to God. But he also put something in us to be able to endure that thing. I'm going to jump to Isaiah chapter number 41. Because I also want to give, I'm going to give encouragement for those who are listening. If we have scripture, if we go into scripture. And let me say this about scripture. I'm one of those who believe if you could take a scripture, I know we give verses or passages here. But we always encourage every person, man, woman, or child that's listening, to go in and study the context of Scripture, the context of the verse of what it's talking about. You know, because, you know, like on Sunday mornings or Bible study, you're taking notes and you go back and you look to the fullness of Scripture. You look at Scripture, because, again, you can compare Scripture to Scripture to get the understanding if you don't get it. But we encourage, I encourage every brother out there that's listening, go to the verses with give that I share, that we share with you, that you can go and search it out and read it and read the passage, read the chapter, understand what's going on and why God has sent this word. Again, the word of God is what we believe the scripture is complete, it's truthful, it's reliable, it's authority, is there's none match to it. This is what God has given us, that we can be able to know him better and to give us a guide and application for our lives. And saying that, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. And the word says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yet I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All of us, every man that's listening, every husband and father, know that God, if you believe in his son Jesus Christ and you confess to be a Christian, God has your back. It's as simple as that. I'll use that terminology for everybody out there. God has our back. God is in control. God sees. But do we trust him enough? Do we lean on him? Do we get our strength from him, knowing that he's going to bring us out, that he has our best interests? Because everything we see may not be for us. And even in my own life, I could testify that, you know, sometimes we have to seek God to go which way, go left or right, to make those decisions. Because, again, as husbands, as fathers, we have a responsibility for those around us. We have a responsibility for those that we are called to provide for, to care for. And then in the bigger body of Christ, we have a responsibility for people, for those in our community, those in our circle, those in our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is what God has us, and we should not fear in these things, in these circumstances. Because we all get, I can say in this last month, in the month of this first month of the new year, I don't know about you or Elder Mark, I've heard of folk who passed away in just the last 31 days. Folk have passed away. Some believers, some unbelievers. And next month, some more folk you may know, between now and the end of the year. But we know that God, the promises of God. But then again, now what are we doing? How are we living our lives? Even be able to minister to those that are left behind, even in the midst of that. So we can't let, we don't have no fear. We have that spiritual strength within us to endure. And I just want to encourage the brothers out there to exercise our faith in these things so that the more we lift, the more faith we exercise, the stronger our faith becomes. Because when it comes to our house, we'll see it totally different. Even in the midst of those that we care about and things go around us, because sometimes as human beings, we get a little desensitized about stuff, but when it comes to our house, where will our faith be then? So that's why we encourage you to strengthen, to be able to strengthen our faith, and that God is going to, and we pray that thing, that God will provide and give us that strength, because we choose as men of God, and we courageously have to trust and have confidence in God, and we walk in the strength and the knowledge of him, that we understand it. And sometimes you have to be able to I don't want to get super emotional, but we have to be able to feel that we know God is for us, that God is with us, and that he is our Father. And we confess that thing, and we live in a way that will please our Father. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. You know, we all want to say that we're living life right, that we're doing things the right way, that we deserve the rewards that God has for us. And I think one of the most humbling experiences that I ever had was my nephew helped us in leading us with doing a outreach for the homeless. So we cooked some food, we made up these dinners, and we took them out, we bagged them up, and we took them around to, you know, places throughout Baltimore. And I don't know, those who know the Baltimore area, going down Franklintown to the viaduct, the underpass, going over to Martin Luther King. When you go down on the right side, there's a line of tents where some homeless people have been staying there and were staying there. Anyway, we were there, and we were given some trays out. We came across one of the tents. And in that tent, there was a guy, and he came out. We handed him a tray, and we could hear other voices inside. And as we were talking to him, we said, well, wait a minute, we have more. He says, no, this food is more than enough for all of us. Somebody else needs this more than we need extra. And I was humbled, like, wow. He thought about somebody else even in his suffering, even in his situation. He's homeless. Probably, I don't know when the last time he ate, when the other two people that were in his tent, when is the last time they ate. But he thought so much that he said, you know what, I want somebody else to be blessed by this opportunity as well. And it made me realize how much he trusted God, even in the midst of his suffering, because he was saying, you know, I want somebody else to be blessed because I know God sent you guys to us. Somebody else needs to get a part of this. It made me realize how much he trusted God, that even when it looked like, I mean, a situation where 99% of us would have been like, God has just left me. We would not believe. We would not trust. Our faith would not take us through it. He still stood with faith and said, you know what, I know God's got more for me. He's going to continue to bless me. Somebody else needs some help too. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to take more. This is more than enough for us to eat for this meal. He wasn't even worried about the next meal. He was thinking somebody else needs some too. If I could stand, if we had that much faith, that even in the midst of our suffering, no matter how bad it looks, God has still got more. He's still moving on our behalf. Where would we be in our life? How different would life be if when our problems came, we were prepared and just said, you know, God, I know you're going to take me through. I don't need to be greedy and take away from what someone else can have. I'm willing to just be a conduit. So the little bit in the blessing you give me, let me share it with somebody else so someone else can be blessed. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. That's the strength that's in us that we really have to put to use. The problem is we're not prepared yet. We don't trust God enough in everything to know that we can be on our last and he still has more for us. We have to get our hands on what satisfies our flesh, what we need to be fulfilled, to think that we can be comfortable. But God has so much more for us. Sometimes we have to go through a little bit. We have to go through some suffering so that we can really see how good God really is. We have to go through some bad situations. And encouragement to the brothers. I know a lot of us are going through things and you like, man, you don't know my story. It can't get any worse. Those that may be listening, those that will have an opportunity to hear because somebody shares this with them, you saying, man, you don't know how bad it really is for me right now. There's no way God's looking out for me. You know, we all have an issue. We all have a cross to bear. And if we stand strong in the midst of it, even Christ said, Lord, this is too much, but if it's your will, thy will be done. The strength that God gives us to push through, man, when the word says that you can, with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. We're not talking about that geographical mountain. We're talking about a situation that seems insurmountable, that seems like you could never get past it. But with faith, you do more than just move the mountain. You get the strength to run through the mountain. And I pray that as the men, as men of God, as we're listening, as believers, unbelievers, those on the fence still trying to learn who God is, faith, just a little bit, just to trust and say, you know what, God, you did it before. You did it for this person. I know you'll do it for me. That faith takes you to a place where you are more powerful than you ever imagined, than the world has ever told you could be. And I encourage you, man, press, push forward, look forward. Because when you see what God can do, life is changed. Back to you, sir.
You know, I appreciate you for that, because that's true. That right there was a very good example of what we do. What do we believe God for our next thing? Or do we believe in ourselves and the things we did in preparation that we might have his next? When a man can take what he has and says, you know, share with someone else, and not knowing where his next is coming from, do we have that kind of faith in the body of Christ? Do we live that way? That's what we have to be able to check ourselves. You know, the Word of God says we have to check ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith, and that what are we going to be judged on when we stand before Christ? Because again, you know, each of us individually is going to stand before Christ. Christ is going to know our hearts. He's going to judge the intentions of our hearts and our attitudes. He's not going to judge the outside or what man thinks. Again, just like I quoted with the quote, it's not that we're trying to please men or try to accomplish what men. We're going to be judged on what God has called us to do, what God put in us, the resources, the things he gave us, the opportunities, the riches, the talents, all of that. And we're going to stand before him, and was it used to glorify his body? Was it used to glorify him on the earth? And that's what we have to be able to be careful and be, and we're going to, what we're going to be judged about. Because we, you know, it's. I think we have to understand that it's more than just salvation for us. It's what and how God wants to use us. What is his will for us? Like I always say, the gospel is going to be seen and heard by men that only you. There's a soul out there that only you are going to be able to reach by your actions, by how you, when you speak to folk, when you share the gospel, when you evangelize. We are willing to be led by the Spirit in every opportunity and everything that we do. And also some of it, again, you know, I let's share this because we've been in prayer and studying for evangelism. People are watching you right now. Every person that's on the line is listening. If you called in, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, if you're listening online, people are watching you right now because of your confession of your faith. They might have questions. They might be on the fringe, on the edge. And even some people, I found myself personally, people already have opinions about, quote, Christians and folk who go to church. All of it's not good. But then they see, can you just be different than what they're used to? And can you know enough word, have enough understanding, enough spiritual discernment that you can be able to answer their tough questions? Answer, you know, when people come to you, ask questions. I personally, you know, I have conversations with people. They always want to bring me the most, you know, anybody who knows, the way with social media now, it's always the craziest Christians and stuff that goes on in the name of the church or the body of Christ that people want to ask me about. And I go, you know, it's the people, you know. Sometimes if you look at it, because I look at it, people show me videos all the time. I say, I don't know what they're doing, but that's not what the Word of God says. And sometimes it's crazy and funny at the same time. But we have to be able to answer those things. You know, we have to be able to share our wisdom of the Word and bring people back to the Word. Because what I do, I just say this in my own personal thing, what I always do is bring back, what did Jesus say? What does the Word say? People try and do a whole lot of other things to convince and entertain people. Sometimes I tell them, you know, sometimes people go to church to be entertained, and there are people who will entertain them, and but it has nothing to do with their faith or the Bible or what the Bible teaches. So some of that I deflect and tell them, you know, some people come to be entertained, and that's entertainment because the fact that it's on YouTube or Facebook or whatever or it's going viral, there's a reason for that because it's crazy and some people need to be entertained because, again, sorry, I digress. Amen. Well, bro, we're going to move on. We're going to stay on track. All right, go ahead, brother.
I got a quick reality check for you, and this is for everybody listening. So, you know, we all talk about, okay, you know, we get just like you, sir, people always ask, well, what about this? And, well, I saw this. This is the reality check for anybody who wants to say, are they living right? If right now there was a knock on your front door and it was Jesus Christ, could you open the door willingly and let him walk through every room in your house? And after he walked through every room in your house, would you put your coat on and take him to your friend's house? Would you take him to where you were just earlier today? Would you let him ride in your car, listen to the music you were listening to? And could he sit in with the conversation you just had with your best friend? If you can say yes to all of that, God bless you. 99.9 of us are still growing, and I know full well there's a whole lot about me, even in my thoughts, that I have to try to curb each and every day, and I pray the strength of God that I make it through the day without succumbing to the temptation, to that fleshly temptation or desire to living, because none of us live a perfect life. The day you can say that your life is perfect is the day that you can say, God, I'm ready to be judged. Take me now. None of us are living that perfect life yet. So if you can say you are, hey, I pray that when God calls you tomorrow morning, you are truthful with yourself, that you're prepared. Because if not, we all have some work to do. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And as you were saying, I just remembered, you know, you're right. There's the battle. That's why God gives us the strength, because it's the battle with the flesh. Because, again, you know, the flesh, the enemy used the flesh from the beginning. It was the flesh that Satan used. He used it on Adam. He used it on Eve. He used it. He's been using it. He's using it on us. And when we get into it, in the battles with the flesh, because why does Satan continue to use the flesh? Because it worked for him. He took Jesus. Jesus was 40 days fast and into the wilderness, and that's where he knew that flesh that Jesus was wearing, because he put himself in the flesh to come and die. And the enemy knew, okay, he's in the flesh, I can come at him. And if you go back again, if you go back and read those verses of Jesus' temptation, those all were flesh desires that we all struggle with right now. He came at him looking for the weakness, but yet Christ in the flesh used the word of God. And that's what we have, the word of God, that we can fight and we get the strength and our faith, knowing that God, the Holy Spirit living within us, is our defense mechanism. We look at the word, we put on the full armor of God. There's so much in there that we have weapons that will protect us, but are we willing to stand on what God has given us? And it's all in his word. Amen. We're going to move on now. I'm going to talk about love. I'm going to talk about sacrificial love. I'm going to talk about also in our character as men, what kind of love do we have for others? Again, we're talking about some characteristics and attitudes of our heart that will strengthen us in our faith, strengthen us in our walk, to make us be the man, the husband, the father, and the man of God that God has called us to be. And today we're going to talk about a spirit of love, a love. I choose to live in love as a sacrificial man. First of all, our sacrifice, it starts in our homes. Every brother that's listening out there, your husband and a father. Sacrificial love starts at home. First with your wife and your children, then your brothers and sisters in Christ. You put their needs before your needs because of your love, because of what Christ's love is in you. Amen. I want to real quick, we're going to start with Romans 12. The favorite. It's a good one. That's a good one for everybody to start out with. You know, Romans chapter 12. And in verse number 1, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's so much study in that first verse. Are we willing to sacrifice? Sacrificial love. How much do we love those around us? And it breaks down between husband and father and then a man of God in the congregation, and how we treat each other and how we treat those in the body of Christ. Are you living in that kind of love? Are we living in love that we put that at times we put others before us? Because we can't love our wives like Christ loved the church unless we're sacrificial in that love. And that sacrificial means it's not, let me say this for the brothers out there, because you got to get ready, because some people don't understand. It's not what folk are doing for you or will do or can do. It's what God has called to put on your heart to do for them without expecting anything in return. That's the expectation. That's what sacrificial love is. You're not doing it because you get anything in return. You have an expectation of something. It's you're doing it because of your love for them, as Christ gave his life because he loved us, and why God sent his son. It was all sacrificial love, and I think that's the greatest love we all can have. What do you say, sir, when we talk about sacrificial love?
Amen. You know, we hear that, and a lot of us, first thing, we like, oh, that means I'm supposed to give up who I am, or, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we just talked about Satan tempts the flesh. Your flesh, of course, is your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice. So what your fleshly desires are is what you're sacrificing. So for your family, you're sacrificing that you're going to leave them at home so you can go hang on the street, so you can go do what you want to do while they sit at home, instead of spending the time with them and loving them, doing something that they would like to do. Your kids, they want to, you know, they want daddy, they want to play with dad, they want to do this. But you thinking, oh man, I was going to the bar to hang with my homeboys. I was going out to, you know, I was going to go hoop. I was going to go play ball. I was going to do this. I was going to a sporting event. Whatever. Whatever you enjoy, whatever satisfies your flesh, that living sacrifice that you're talking about, we're talking about, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You are, your reasonable service is to deny your fleshly temptations to help someone else, to give to your wife, to give to your children, to give to your family, to give to your church family, to give to those around you. Take some time away from what you want to do and do for somebody else. That is presenting your body as a living sacrifice, because you're denying what you want to do. You're denying your flesh. It's not saying that you are no longer going to enjoy your life. It's not saying that you're no longer going to do anything that you like to do. It's that you put somebody else in front of you. You think of somebody else first. Christ did it every single day. His thought was about the people around him. And then when he thought about the people around him, the people that needed to be saved, that his mission was to save these souls, to save these people, to introduce them to who his Father God is. It didn't matter what those around him thought. It didn't matter what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said. I'm sorry, I get tongue-tied trying to say that all the time, but the Pharisees and those other ones, it didn't matter. When he was around the people that he was praying for, that he was leading, that the ones that they said he shouldn't touch, or he shouldn't be praying for, he shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath, he shouldn't be doing this, it didn't matter. Sacrificing for someone else is what God calls us to do. Sacrifice your desires, what gratifies you the most. If it gratifies you to sit down and play the game all day, if you're one of the PlayStation, Xbox dudes, if you, you know, sit in the house and you can play, you know, whatever the games are, play Madden or whatever, you know, whatever the games are, if you can play that all day and ignore your kids, man, put the game down and spend some time reading with your kids, talking to them about something, even if it's spending some time watching TV with them. Instead of playing the game, man, sit with your wife and watch a Lifetime movie. Hey, it might not be the thing you want to do, but guaranteed it's going to be something that you denied what you wanted and sacrificed and gave up to make sure that your wife was happy. Hey, happy wife, happy life. You don't do it so that you'll be made happy. But for me, I know I'm happy when I see my family happy. So sometimes I'm going to give up what I wanted to do to know that my wife is going to be happy. Because in the long run, as she's made happy, it makes me even happier to see my queen happy, and that makes me feel truly like a king. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, it's also, it's sacrificial. It's what God has called us to do. I want to go real quick to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, starting at number, let me start at verse 13. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. We're here at Elder Mark for New Vision Kingdom Builders, and we are talking about strength and, our strength from God and our sacrificial love, what God has called us to be as husbands, fathers, and men in the body of Christ. So we were speaking to encourage you today in those areas of sacrificial love and spiritual strength and power. We're talking about love right here, and I want to go to, again, Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 13. The Word of God says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye also forgive them. And above all things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to that which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." So there's two things there. You know, it's the calling of God, who we're supposed to be, that spiritual love and perfection. When we forgive each other, when we have quarrels in the body of Christ amongst Christians, you know, that shows us that we're growing in perfection, that we're not holding art against people. And again, this is not I want to make sure we understand it's not about the superficial forgiveness. It's really about attitude. It's about a heart issue, about where we are when we say we forgive someone and what we're willing to do for them or continue to do for them. Again, it goes back to, I won't put it in these kind of terms. I'll put it in a temporal realm because I've learned this over the years, and this is some wisdom that's passed down to me that I'll share with you, that even if we look at money, if we give someone, if we say we're going to lend somebody some money or give somebody some money, you know, and this can bring, we know finances and money can bring issues between the husbands, mothers, fathers, sons, brothers and sisters, everybody, cousins, nephews, best friends, coworkers. Money can destroy relationships. But if we learn to give only what we could afford, that we know that we don't need it back. And that's the same thing with the love that we need to give when we talk about sacrificial. Are we willing to give love that we don't need to receive it back? That's what we have to understand. Because, again, Christ gave his life for us even when we were not saved. We were considered enemies of God. Now we might be great and wonderful and Holy Ghost filled and spiritual and all the things. We're lovely and righteous, and we go to church for everything and everything. But before that, before we came to the knowledge of ourselves, Christ still loved us. God the Father still loved us. Amen? And God the Father loves those people right now that we are called to evangelize and to teach, that are living sinful lives, living disobedient lives. God loves them also, and his expectation is not to receive nothing from them because he already escaped Christ for their lives. And that's why we're called to evangelize and reach and sow seeds into people's lives that they may come into the knowledge, because Christ has already died for them. So now, as I take it back to what my metaphor is, you know, if we give someone some money, we only give what we have that we don't have the expectation of returning. And that's the kind of love we should give. No expectation for getting something back for it. That's my simple explanation and definition of a sacrificial love, or anything that we sacrifice, willing to give with no expectation for the betterment of another. Amen? Amen. What do you say, brother?
Exactly. Are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up for somebody else? You know, and forgive me, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat. I don't want to, you know, brush over or pacify it. Man, look, brothers, check yourself. If you aren't willing to give up for your wife, for your kids, if you aren't willing to give up something that made you happy, all right, let's get real. You are down on your last dime. As a man, would you watch your child hungry and eat the last sandwich? No. You don't know what you're going to eat, but you're going to make sure your child has food in their mouth. That's what sacrificial love is. You don't know. You're not expecting that child is going to be able to hand you another sandwich 10 minutes later because you're hungry. You're just satisfied because they are satisfied, because they have the nourishment and sustenance they need. As a man, you're like, you know what? I'll deal with myself later. That's what sacrificial love is. You'll deal with your desires and your needs later. Let me put them first because I know my love for them makes them more important than me being gratified at this very minute. Hey, it may be tomorrow before you get something to eat. It may be next week before you get back to the thing you wanted to do, before you get a chance to hang out with your homeboys again. But to see the smile on your child's face, or to see the love that your wife feels because you stopped and said, you know what, let me give up what I want to help to make sure that they're happy. They have what they need. That's going beyond let's just making them happy, you know, not going to the game or whatever. Hey, man, they need you at a home just to feel protected, just to feel that you love them. That's a sacrifice. That's what sacrificial love is. You're showing love by giving up what gratifies you to make sure that they have what they need. And sometimes all they need is us. We're too busy, caught up in us, to see that they really need us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. And for the broader church body, you know, I'm going to go to real quick. I want to share the scripture. It's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. This is one of the favorite foundational scriptures from way back in the day. It used to back when we did memory verses, but you know. But anyway, 15:13. A greater love no man have this than a man lay down his life for his friends. So what are you laying down your life for those that are your friends? You know, are we sacrificially? Are we laying down our pride, our selfishness? For the love of others, for our service in the ministry, as a church? You know, we talk a lot about, you know, the thing now in church circles is talk about titles and this, that, and the other thing. You know, sometimes titles, there's a responsibility with titles. As pastors and deacons, all the other titles, I'm not even going to that, that's a whole other show. But with titles, is there responsibilities? And even in responsibilities, there's things that, are we willing to serve as a husband, as a father? Are we willing to serve because of that title that we carry? We all have titles. We have titles in our jobs, we have responsibility in our jobs, but in the body of Christ and our spiritual calling, we have responsibilities for service, for ministry, to the lost. You know, evangelism is no greater love. If you don't love a person enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, so you saying it's okay for their soul to end up in hell. Because again, we are all called to reach some soul. There's a soul and a person and a people and someone out there that we are called to reach that no one else will be able to reach. And because we are called of Christians and of Christ and children of God, we're called to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ to others and share that soul does not end up in hell. So that's a call. Do we love people enough to tell them the gospel, to share about their salvation of their souls, that they don't spend eternity in hell? So do we sacrificially love others, from all the way from our pets, from our house, to the stranger, to are we sharing the gospel? Are we participating in the gospel as individuals? As well, are we praying for people? Are we praying for people in our congregations? Are we spending time in prayer for those who we sit next to next to on the same row in the building? Are we praying? Are we praying for those? Are we praying for those who come through the threshold of our doors? As men of God, are we praying? And that's what we can do. Are we praying for other brothers who know that are going through things? And for the brothers that we don't know? Because I can tell you right now, if you know someone that's married, someone that has children, you pray for them because they're going through. They're being tested in some way, some realm, at some level. So you can pray for them right there. But are we willing to be sacrificial in that love and prayer and reaching out and encouraging one another? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., or every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we're here with my brother, Elder Mark from New Vision for Life. Brother, I'm going to give you the closing words, and you can close us out in prayer. Again, thank you for joining me tonight. And thank you for your insights and for your wisdom. And I continue to pray for you and your family.
Amen. Amen. As always, I keep you lifted as well. I appreciate you. And thank you, as always, for the opportunity to join you. It's always a blessing to share and just to encourage. Iron truly does sharpen iron. To those listening, to you, the gentlemen on the lines, whoever may be listening, to those that get a chance to listen later, once again, as Deacon Farr always says, none of us have everything in line. We don't have it all together. And this is all about encouragement. And some of the things that are said are encouraging. We are encouraging ourselves in our walk, because every day we have to pray that our walk gets stronger, that we get better than we were yesterday, that we are deserving of the treasures God has for us. So I pray that each and every person listening, each and every person that hears, each and every person that gets the chance that may hear about the show from someone else, that may share something we've said, something that's been said, I pray that anybody who receives understands that we're doing this about encouragement, about growth, because that truly is the greatest love, as Deacon Farr just said, evangelism. And this is evangelism, talking about who God is and what God does for us, what he gives us, what he shows us, what he calls on us to do as men, as people. So I pray that you all receive. And as also what he said, that you go back. When there's something you need to see, these scriptures that have been shared, please go back and read them. The word does say study to show thyself approved, which means you'll actually study. You won't go on just the interpretation of word of someone else, but you'll go to receive context, understanding, revelation from God. And when you read God's word, you will receive revelation. You will hear from the Holy Spirit with discernment as you open yourself to the word of God and fill yourself with the word of God. Just like any music or anything in the street, when you flood yourself with it, it's easy to bring it right back out. When you fill yourself with the word of God, when the tests come, when the enemy comes, just as Christ did, even in his flesh he was tempted, but he used the word of God to fight the enemy back, to tell Satan, get thee behind me, to move further, because he could not be tempted, because he knew the word of God and what the word of God said, even about the fleshly temptations and desires. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to talk, to fellowship, to spend time learning of you, Lord God, learning of you and thus learning more about ourselves. Continue to show us you, Lord God, in each and every situation as we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you deserve, Lord God, for truly you bless us in the abundance that is you and you alone. We thank you for your protection, your grace, your mercy, and your favor. And as you continue to pour upon us, we will be a blessing to those around us. And as we are blessed and they are blessed, Lord God, we pray that we will always turn and bless your holy, magnificent, and awesome name. For you are the one true, the Alpha Omega, beginning and the end. And we praise you and praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Have a wonderful evening.
God bless.
Above.